Okay, we are back. You're listening to Cross the Border. I'm Nicholas, and we're continuing our study here in the Gospel of Luke. We're in chapter 21. Let's see, where did we leave off here? Chapter 21, and let's step back a few to verse 20 there. And when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Now let's talk about the desolation of Jerusalem. There's a common phrase that goes around. It's called the abomination of desolation, or the abomination which maketh desolate. And so we have an abomination which maketh desolate. The abomination comes first, and it's the abomination which maketh desolate, so the desolation follows the abomination. Jerusalem was desolated twice by abomination. The abomination of national Israel is what brought about the desolation of Jerusalem and the temple and, of course, national Israel. The first time, Jerusalem was abominable, and the things they were doing, they'd fallen completely into idolatry. They persecuted and killed all of the prophets that Yahuwah, the Creator, sent to them to warn them of their doom. And finally, the Heavenly Father, their Creator, wields the sword against them. And the sword, of course, is Babylon. An interesting point which crossed my mind recently was that Babylon was at the Tower of Babel. The Heavenly Father put an end to the first attempt at world government by scattering the people, tongues and nations, and scattering them throughout the earth by their tongues, by confusing their language. He put an end to the first one world government that was trying to raise itself up there in with the Tower of Babel under Nimrod. However, we find that the Heavenly Father himself was reserving that one world dominating force until he would wield it as a sword against an abominable people. And that was national Israel, who committed all kinds of abominations. And he wielded the sword of Babylon, the first one world government, the head of mystery Babylon. You could look at it that way, or the head of the image of the times of the Gentiles, another revelation, if you would receive it, that the image of Nebuchadnezzar's dream with the head of gold is the image. You could just title it the times of the Gentiles and mystery Babylon, although mystery Babylon is so much more than just that image, because it goes back to the beginning when the Heavenly Father vanquished the Tower of Babel and scattered the people throughout the earth. And it goes forward in time to mystery Babylon of today, which is, a whole nother topic. And I'm thinking about after I finished our trek in the Gospel of Luke here, just doing an exposition on chapter 17 of the book of Revelation. But let's continue in our text here. It's so easy to get off because our Messiah, touches on the prophetic here, but so many people mistakenly take so much of this prophetic and try to incorporate it into their futurist fantasies, as they do with this text here. So it's hard to not comment and try to set the record straight here. He says, when you shall see Jerusalem compassed about with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Now, the abomination has already been taking place and is going to continue. And when the Messiah is crucified and he pays the price for once and for all, then the abomination escalates. Because after the veil in the temple is rent from top to bottom, an act that could not be done by anyone but the Creator himself, the priests don't go in there and go, hey, there's something going on here. Maybe this Messiah got, maybe we shouldn't be doing this anymore. No, they, of course, repair the, or replace the veil in the temple. and they continue the sacrifice, but now the sacrifice is an abomination itself because the Messiah had sacrificed himself, the very Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, sacrificed himself once and for all for sin. So the abomination only escalates and continues for as long as they're able. And that desolation is determined. And of course, it's finally completed. The desolations are completed. I believe that the Heavenly Father gives national Israel 40 years to repent and for the gospel, the true gospel message to spread, especially to those that were righteous. And, it's kind of hard to, accept something when your leaders are telling you that it's a cult, it's unacceptable, and so on and so forth. So you have to kind of put yourself in the time that they were in. And you had a lot of faithful people that were going to the temple and learning from the priests and the scribes and the Pharisees, but really living a righteous life and trying to live a life that was pleasing to the Heavenly Father. They needed the message. They needed to get it, have time to be witnessed to so they could receive it. And that just goes to the grace that continually pours forth from our Heavenly Father and His mercy. So he says, when you see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Now, Jerusalem at the present time is in a state of desolation. So if it's compassed with armies today, we don't have to worry about it, because how do you desolate something that is already desolated? Okay? There's no temple. There's no priest temple sacrifice system. National Israel is not practicing the priest temple sacrifice system in any form. So this does not apply to today. This is the second abomination. This is the second destruction of the temple after it was rebuilt, as foretold by the prophets. There's only one rebuilding of the temple that is foretold in the scripture before the Messiah physically returns. And then I don't believe it's going to be the same temple when it comes down from heaven. So we're talking about something that was contemporary to Yahshua's time, contemporary to those that were there, and that would be completed within that 40 years by 70 AD. So when you shall see Jerusalem compassed about with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. And now he's giving them explicit instructions. This is not for us. This is for them. He says, then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of depart out. And let them that are in the countries, enter there into. Let not them that are in the countries there enter into. And that means if you're outside of the locality. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. And I believe Daniel said, and the desolations were determined. And the time for the 70 weeks for Israel were determined. The desolations, of course, followed the 70 weeks. It didn't say explicitly that the desolation would happen within the 70 weeks, and obviously it did not. And he says, but woe to them that are with child and that give suck in those days, for there shall be a great distress in the land and wrath upon this people. And if you're familiar at all, if you're a historian at all, you have all the futurists that believe all the futurists, future babble, eschatological fantasies. But they don't study the history at all. They don't go back to the time and realize that this happened then, that the Messiah was warning the apostles and his disciples that were around him then, who would warn their children and all of those that they would bring that gospel message to, all those people that would come into the fold of being covered by the Messiah's blood, that when they see these signs, they were to flee so they would not get caught up in the desolation, because we know that the Romans came in and utterly destroyed Jerusalem, and they took captive the Jews, and they were, you know, those that didn't get killed, were sold into slavery. Every last one of them. They had, you know, their final solution. They wanted to put an end to the Jewish problem. That was the mentality of Rome in that day. They were sick of it. Jerusalem was a troublesome stone about the neck of the Roman Empire, and they wanted to put an end to it. So they totally obliterated it. Who they didn't kill, they sold into slavery, and they sent them to every quarter of the Roman Empire to be slaves. And that's why Yahshua here is warning them, when you see Jerusalem compassed about by armies, it's time to flee. And he says, woe to them that give suck. You know, if you got children, you got a family, yes, it's going to be hard, because it is hard when you have a family and you have property in and around the city that you love, Jerusalem, and in the locality there, and you're on the land and you got sheep and you got your garden and the babies on the knees, and you know, you're going to say, I'll just weather it. No, he's saying, don't weather it. It's going to be hard. Yes. Grab the babies and run. I mean, that's another way that I would interpret this when he says, but woe to them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people. What he's saying is, grab the babies and run. It doesn't matter. You will be safer. You and your family will be safer in poverty on the run than staying in the land. So we get the message. We understand what's going on. And it says, now here's the warning, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword. Who is the they that fall shall fall by the edge of the sword? Well, we go back. It says, for these be the days of vengeance, and all things which are written may be fulfilled. And we're talking about vengeance on these people. The ones that abominable go back. It says that, let's not go back. Let's move forward here. They shall fall by the edge of sword, and they shall be led away captive into all nations. Okay? And that's exactly what happened. They shall be led away captive into all nations. They shall fall by the edge of the sword. Those were the two choices. If you stayed, if you did not obey, so what we know is that all the faithful left. And you know what? The faithful that followed the Messiah, the sect, and so they became known as Christians in the Greek language, something that identified them with Christ the Messiah. Very few of them were called Jews, because very few of them followed what was known as the religion of Judaism. And the religion of Judaism is not strictly biblical, a biblical religion. They have their Talmud. They had their extra biblical writings. The term escapes me right now, obviously. But so you had a parting of the way here. You had the faithful, and you had the faithless. The faithless stayed and suffered. And here was their choice. If you stayed, you didn't listen to those nuts, those conspiracy theorists, those extremists who followed the Messiah, and they were talking about the prophecy, the words of the nutty Messiah, right? That they had to leave because Jerusalem was going to be destroyed. You know, kind of like a lot of people today, they pay attention to prophecy. Well, they would be like the ones that pay attention to prophecy. And then they're going around, Yahshua, the Messiah, said we had to leave when we see certain things. So the word's going around, and the faithful all fled. They all left. That's right. They all left in obedience to the Messiah and to his prophecies, to his instruction. The faithless stayed there, and they suffered. And two things happened to them. Either they were killed with the sword, or they were sold as slaves. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and they shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem, he continues, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Now, earlier I was talking about the image from Nebuchadnezzar's dream as interpreted by Daniel. And the angel at the end of the interpretation said that the dream is sure and the interpretation thereof is sure. So we have something that we're sure of in the prophecy. We have this image, starting with the head of gold, going down to the feet. You know, the head of gold, of course, is the past. And, of course, above the head of gold would be, you could say that the image of this man with the head of gold has the past over his head, and under his feet is the future. So it starts there. And, of course, we're down there in the feet right now and probably nearing the 10 toes of mixed with clay and iron. If I had to put ourselves in that timeline somewhere, we're down there near the dividing into perhaps 10 regions. I don't know. See, that doesn't, we don't have anything explicit on that. I have different ideas on that, which I'll share with you sometime, but this isn't the time for that. But going back to this statement by the Messiah, a very key statement, he says, he coins a phrase here, and the phrase is the times of the Gentiles. Now, earlier, we came across the word nations. We moused over the Greek there where it says ethnos, and we see that it is the same word that is translated Gentiles. So we could say the times of the nations be fulfilled. And it is my belief that once the 70th, just as a, as another point, which I think people need to understand and get across, that at the point that the 70th week ended and the gospel went to the nations, it is my belief that national Israel became on the same status with all of the other unbelieving nations. Their status changed from the nation of God, the national, God's nation, or physical kingdom of God on earth, because remember what the angel said in, when he interpreted Daniel's 70 weeks. He said, 70 weeks are determined for thy people Israel. And that means that after the 70 weeks, well, there's nothing determined for them. There's nothing special about them anymore. They're just now a nation of unbelievers like all of the other unbelieving nations out there. Their status changed. And when the gospel went to the nations of the world, and for those of you who haven't figured this out yet, that's why the gospel, why the New Testament is given us to us in Greek. Because Greek is the language, or I should say was, the language of the nations at that time. Greek was the international language. And that's why before the 70 weeks were up, the gospel message, or let's say the Old Testament, the oracles of God, was transmitted to his nation, the physical nation of God on earth, the kingdom of God on earth, in Israel, such as it was. The oracles of God were committed to them, and it came out in their language, Hebrew and Aramaic. Okay, but after that, after the 70 weeks were up, I believe this is my own personal revelation from the Heavenly Father, and I believe that it's obvious that the reason, because I've pondered this in my mind, and I prayed about it, and I believe this is what the Heavenly Father's revealed to me, is that he transmitted the New Testament, the oracles of God, after the 70 weeks were up and the time determined for Israel was over, and Israel's status became equal with all of the other unbelieving nations. And that's why I don't believe that the Jews are God's chosen people. I believe that God's chosen people obeyed the Messiah and they left Jerusalem when they saw the signs because they were obedient. So do we now say that the disobedient and the posterity of the disobedient are the chosen people of God? Or do we say those who were obedient and their posterity are God's chosen people? Well, I'm going to go with the obedient and their posterity. And you know what? Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, so the posterity of the obedient is not flesh and blood, but is his spirit. And then you have the disobedient, and their posterity is only flesh and blood. But the Messiah said flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So how can the Jews be God's chosen people if flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom of God? I've never heard anyone put it that way before. So I thank the Heavenly Father for that revelation. I'm sure that a lot of other people have wondered about that. So there you have something that I feel that he has given me, and I share it with you. Search it out. If I'm wrong, if you can show me in the scripture something different, then back it up with the Word of God, with his Textus Receptus. Okay, well, let's continue our conversation here. We're talking about the posterity of the obedient versus the posterity of the disobedient. The posterity of the disobedient call themselves Jews today, Sephardic or otherwise, it doesn't matter what they call themselves, cannot be the chosen people, God's chosen people, because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. However, the posterity of the obedient who fled because they were obedient to Christ, and some were of the same family. See, he said he brought a sword. He divided families in half. So the obedient would flee, and their posterity would be a spiritual posterity, because even some of their own children will not accept Christ, will not accept Messiah, and follow and live a life that's pleasing to the Heavenly Father, because that's the difference. You choose to enter his kingdom, and it's a choice you make when you become of the age of accountability, in most cases anyway. Let's continue here. He says that the times of the Gentiles, that's where we were at. So the times of the Gentiles began when? Well, the clue here is that Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles is fulfilled. So that does that mean that the times of the Gentiles began when Jerusalem became trodden down of the Gentiles? And wouldn't that go back to when Babylon entered into Jerusalem and destroyed it? And the first abomination, which maketh desolate, was committed in Israel, so that the desolation of Jerusalem and the temple was brought about. And then, of course, we have the prophecies of the rebuilding of the temple, which were fulfilled. The temple was rebuilt, but still Jerusalem and Israel was under Gentile or under the domination of other nations from the time of Babylon, the first desolation, up until the second desolation. They were still under Gentile rule, and Jerusalem was trodden down of the Gentiles. They were never, ever were they a sovereign nation. So I submit that the times of the Gentiles is fully depicted to us and graphically illustrated to us by Nebuchadnezzar's dream as interpreted by the angel and given to us there in the book of Daniel. So Jerusalem still in that position of being trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And we'll talk a little bit more about that when we return, and then we'll continue our study. Stay tuned for the news. You're listening to Cross the Border.